Well, it's really good for Alton and me to be back in Sterling again. We had a great time here. I think it was 2008 that we had the privilege of spending about 6 months? I can't remember. But it's good to be back, and we really appreciate your pastor, Joel Wood. We hope to have him in Winchester sometime this fall for communion. And we're thankful that God has sent him here. We're going to be looking at Matthew, the 25th chapter this morning, under the theme, A Time to Prepare. But I want to read just a few verses from Amos, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, before I read the Matthew passage. Amos 4:12. And again, give your attention to the Word of God. Amos says, Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind, and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I've seen signs by the road, prepare to meet your God. But Amos is saying here, there's a preliminary preparation, and there's a later preparation. And Israel had not made the preliminary preparation. So the prophet is saying to them, you don't have any choice. You are gone. You will not be able to repent. Prepare to meet your God. And those are very sobering words that the prophet gave to the nation of Israel. And God sent them into 70 years of captivity because of their rebellion. But now turn with me to the 25th chapter of Matthew. And the parable that I believe speaks to us about a time to prepare. Again, give your attention to the Word of God. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Let's look to God for just a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, this is a parable that we've read many times. And we pray that in this hour of worship, you will help us to have a clear understanding of what it teaches and how we need in our own personal life to be prepared to meet our God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparation is an activity in which we are continually involved. In the summer, many prepare to go on vacation. High school seniors are preparing to begin their college careers, those who are attending college. And the reason for higher education is to prepare men and women for future work and for service. Many much younger than I am are preparing for retirement. But all of us, without exception, should be preparing for eternity. God has numbered our days and our years. The time will come when the place that knows us now will know us no longer on this earth. I read in one book recently that in three generations, all of us will be forgotten. It's a bit humbling, but it's true. Three generations will wipe the thought of each of us from the minds of those who are yet to come. So if we prepare for events in this life, which all of us are doing, how much more important it is for us to prepare for an existence that will never end after death. The need to prepare for that eternal existence forms the basis for this parable of the wise and foolish virgins. It teaches truths that are absolutely essential for entrance into that house of many mansions or rooms that Jesus is preparing for his people. In looking at the context of this parable in chapter 24, we find that it resulted from a conversation that the disciples had with Jesus regarding the end times and the temple in Jerusalem. In 24:1, they were admiring the beauty of the temple, the beauty of its architecture. And Jesus said, "I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that should not be thrown down." Chapter 24:2. Later on the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked Jesus when all of this would take place. And he said in verse 3 of that chapter that the time was coming when there would be rumors of wars, wars themselves, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, persecution, lawlessness, tribulation, false Christs, and of spectacular signs in the sky. And in verse 36, he said, But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And in verse 42, he said, watch therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. And to teach the truth and the need for that watching, he told the parable of the 10 virgins. There are principles in this parable that are essential in helping in our preparation for eternity. And we must consider them seriously. It is the story of 10 unmarried girls who were probably related to the bridegroom. 5 of them were described as wise and 5 as foolish. In the parable, all 10 of them took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. But the bridegroom did not arrive as soon as expected. And because they had to wait, they lay down to sleep. Finally, at midnight, the procession arrived and the cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And all 10 of the girls awoke and proceeded to trim their lamps. But to their dismay, the foolish girls discovered that the oil in their lamps was nearly gone. In desperation, they begged the other 5 to share their oil. But they said no, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. The wise girls went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. When the other 5 arrived from buying more oil, they saw the closed door, and they cried out, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. There was no explanation. There was no second chance. The door was shut. And our theme, as I said, is a time to prepare. And as Jesus said in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. In this parable, Jesus warns us about 3 things. That we cannot do if we expect to be prepared to meet with the Lord at the final judgment. First of all, we dare not neglect spiritual preparation. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming. How do we go about watching? Does it mean sitting around all day looking at the sky, waiting for Jesus to come back? Or does it mean having to talk about the last things in every conversation that we have? Of course not. In looking at the context of this passage, it is apparent that what Jesus meant by watching is planning for the future. It involves preliminary preparation, and it involves continual preparation. This was what these foolish girls had failed to do. They had their lamps. They had some oil, enough for the moment, but they had not planned ahead. When the coming of the bridegroom was delayed, they discovered to their shock that their supply of oil was insufficient. It never occurred to them that his schedule might be different than theirs. This is why they were called foolish. They had not strayed into forbidden paths. They were not immoral or worshippers of false gods. They were only foolish. Preparation is an important part of everyday life. Anyone planning a trip around the world is not going to wait until the day of departure to make his plans. Students who wait for the last moment to study for final exams find that the time for examination is not the time for preparation. All of us understand the need for preparing for things in this world, preparing for, as I said, retirement or the education of our children. But how many people there are in this world, many you know, and work with perhaps every day, members of a church perhaps, who ignore their coming journey into the next world and their final examination before the judge of all the earth. They enjoy the temporal blessings that God sends, but have no thought whatever of God. I remember other words of Jesus in Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to you, and to stand before the Son of Man. We dare not neglect spiritual preparation. Secondly, we cannot borrow what must be bought. How often have we read this parable with a touch of sympathy for these foolish girls? Why did the other girls refuse to share their oil with their friends? Is it not true that we are to do to others as we would have others do to us? Doesn't the golden rule apply to every relationship of life? How could these girls be so selfish and heartless? We don't have enough for you. We only have enough for ourselves. You go and buy your own oil. Well, the only answer is that we cannot borrow what must be bought. The oil in the lamps represents that genuine piety, which is the result of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through faith in His atoning death on the cross. It cannot be borrowed. It must be bought from Him who sells without money and without price. After having described the sin of the church in Laodicea, a church that was miserable, blind, and naked, Jesus said, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may see. And eye salve to see spiritual truths." One author said the precious oil must be bought with prayer. It must be treasured in the heart. It must so fill the character that by the grace of God it becomes our own, our very own, and cannot be taken from us. One man cannot give the holy oil to another. One man cannot save another's soul. Only God can save us. The wise virgins did all they could do. They said to the other girls, "Go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Our obligation is to point the sinner to Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is the one of whom Isaiah wrote in his gracious invitation of Isaiah 55:1. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come ye to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." How often have we stood by the coffin or casket of an aged saint, and we thought how wonderful it would be if his or her godly piety could be transferred to someone else. But I can't. Some years ago, I conducted the funeral of Dr. J.G. Voss, scholar, author, teacher, theologian, a man of God, a man who did more, in my opinion, to make this denomination reformed in faith than any other man. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if his mind, his love for the Savior, wouldn't it be great if all of that knowledge, wisdom, and love could be passed on to somebody else? But it cannot. Eternal life cannot be transferred from father to son, from mother to daughter. A parent can leave his worldly goods to his children, but he cannot bequeath to them his character. Each of us is personally accountable to God for all that we are and all that we do. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We cannot borrow what must be bought. And finally, we cannot recall lost opportunities. When the bridegroom finally arrived, the foolish virgins were out buying more oil. And when they returned, they were shocked to discover that the door was shut, and they were denied entrance. The door of heaven is shut for security for those inside. Revelation 3:12 says, "He who has overcome, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more." The door is shut. But the closed door in heaven also provides protection from those outside. Revelation 22:15, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices lies." Those outside cannot harm those on the inside. The door is shut. But for us, the door is still open. The promise to the penitent sinner is one that we can still claim. But the time is coming when the door will be shut. And the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, will say to those on the outside, "I never knew you." Can you imagine for a moment how these young women must have felt when they heard those words, "I never knew you"? And try to imagine, hearing those same words from the judge of all the earth on that last great day, "I never knew you." Well, how different are the words of Jesus In John 10, verse 27, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known them and am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I know them. As we prepare for the future, one phrase of this parable stands out in my mind. The words of the foolish virgins, our lamps are going out. The flame did not suddenly die as we would turn off a light switch. The flame became smaller and smaller until by the time the girls realized what was happening, the flame had flickered out. Sometimes the pressures of this world become so intense that we may begin to neglect the things of God. Bible reading, prayer are either ignored or squeezed into a few moments if we can find them. The needs of our bodies take precedence over the needs of our soul. From time to time, we observe the Lord's Supper because we're commanded to do so. But it also provides an opportunity to replenish the oil in our lamps. A time for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. A time to make certain that we know the Shepherd and are known by Him. So when we do observe the sacrament, we remember that the bread and the cup are reminders of the free offer of salvation. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. He offers us entrance through that door where we will enter the eternal city. It does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its light. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we need to be reminded to watch, to be prepared at a moment's notice for a heart attack, an accident, something that will take our life and send us immediately before the judgment seat of Christ. Our Father, we pray that we will have long lives to live and serve you during those days. But we never know what the next moment holds. So, Lord, may we watch. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.